As we continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I would like for you please to turn to verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? In ancient days, without use of telephones, cell phones, walkie-talkies, without any form of instantaneous communication, armies moved or not based on the signals that had been worked out that were used by trumpeters to sound certain orders or to pass certain orders. You are most familiar with probably a football game or even a basketball game. Some yahoo with a trumpet will stand up and blow the charge, da-da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, everybody stands, yells, charge. Well, that's exactly what trumpets did. Well, bugles in our recent past, as far as, let's say, during the Civil War, in the Indian Wars out west, the sounding of the bugle sounding the charge or blowing the retreat. But there were other movements that were governed by the trumpet calls as well. Part of the basic training was familiarizing the recruit with these various trumpet calls, what was expected. A man who was leading his men, if he went into battle, all he could see was what was directly in front of him. As time went on and armies got bigger, the general or the commander of the forces would stand back so he could watch to see what the enemy was doing. But because he was farther away from his men who were fighting, he couldn't holler at them and tell them what to do. So they used runners, couriers, and in the time of the Roman Empire and before, actually, the use of a trumpet was necessary. It was essential for the smooth working of the military in battle. At the same time, trumpets were also used for the sounding of alarm. There would be watchmen on the walls, on the towers, on the walls of cities, and if they saw a commotion that drew their attention, looked like a body of men coming, it might be the enemy, they would go ahead and blow a warning blast on the trumpet. There would be a signal, and people would hurry around and get inside the wall, close the gates, and the garrison would assemble on the walls, etc. There were different commands given. Now, the point of verse 8 is this: if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? There were certain calls that were everybody recognized and knew. But if the trumpeter is sitting there saying, well, you know, I think I'll just play me a little bit of the, you know, the boogie-woogie bugle boy from Company B, and they're going, well, wait a minute, what was that? I don't remember that signal. You see, the bugler was not there as a musician. He was there to pass the orders. And if he got fouled up, that meant the men in uniform, that meant the guys on the sharp end of the stick weren't going to be facing where they were supposed to be. They were going to get slaughtered all too often, or they wouldn't move in to reinforce men who were in a jam. So when he says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Keep in mind the context here. The battle is a spiritual battle. And when you get this confusion going on, this matter of the tongues, we got a problem. Who knows what's going on? It is sad, but I've read accounts recently of men who are religious observers. That is, they're not Christians, but they watch to see what's going on. And their take on Christianity is a... it's saddening. It'll break your heart. Because instead of being able to say, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about, it's obvious they do, and they're seeing things very clearly, more clear than Christians seem to be. Christians have lost the language of sin and damnation. They've lost the vocabulary of salvation. They have lost the zeal to see the unconverted one to Christ. They have lost any desire for holiness with a goal in mind of pleasing the Heavenly Father. That's gone. And you got all this commotion, all this silliness, this silly, sappy, shallow, quote-unquote, teaching, and I'll put it in quotes because, well, it's a mockery, a travesty of what it ought to be. All of this wonderful teaching. And what's the upshot of it? True holiness? I think not. Real revival? Oh, get a life. Great revival sweeping the land. Get your head out of your armpit and look around, people. It's not happening. And it's not happening because God's people aren't giving the right signals. The preachers aren't giving the right signals. It's a mess. So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without signification. No one talks about voices, we're talking about different sounds. The sound of a steam engine, the sound of gunfire, the sound of a siren, the sound of a jet taking off. All sorts of sounds, and all of them bring to mind a particular image. You hear a sound immediately in your mind, something, you know, this, from where you are right now. Let's say, for instance, you hear a door open in your house. Immediately, you get the picture that somebody came through the door, or went through the door. You understand. It has significance. Every sound, every kind of voice in the world has something behind it, has a meaning behind it. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. We can't understand each other. There's no communication going on here. Now, what was happening in Corinth? You had people getting up and making a big deal about these tongues thing, and they're rambling on with it, and nobody has a clue to what's going on. Apparently, the idea of translating what's being said has been lost. We'll get to that a little further on. Let's go on. But at any rate, nobody understands what the other one, you know, what's going on. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I find too many people who are big on calling attention to themselves. Look at me. Look at my gift. Look at my talent. Look at what I can do. I'll tell you what, I'm sick to death of people who feel it's their calling to go around in these little singing outfits, putting on a show and pretending that they're ministering for God. When in actual point of fact, when you watch their performance, it's me, 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 look at me. Listen to how low I can go. Listen to how high I can go. Listen to how loud I can belt it out. Oh, don't you see the sweat standing out on my brow as I mop my upper lip with my handkerchief? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Foolishness. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. If it doesn't edify the church, keep your mouth shut. Now, he didn't say it that way, not just yet, but you get the idea where he's coming from. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue. Now, you'll notice I didn't read unknown. Because unknown is in italics, it was not there in the manuscript. You can stick it if you like, if it offends you, read it anyway. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I've said. Well, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Let's assume for a moment that a person has this gift. Look at what he's saying here. If you can turn it on and turn it off, leave it off so that when you speak, you can speak with understanding. When you sing, you're not singing in some gibberish that nobody, it's not going to reach anybody. Make them all think you've been possessed by something other than the Spirit of God. You destroy a service. Keep any preaching to be minimized. And no, he said, I will sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? He doesn't have a clue. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. Now notice what Paul says. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And indeed, he had need to be able to. Look at how many times he went into new territory. First place he went was to the Jews. And the Jews require a sign. Yeah, here you go. And you read verse 22 and you see why God gave him this gift. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I want to be used by God to build up other Christians. That's basically what he's saying. And my friend, shouldn't that be what you're about as well? Brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Be grown up, be adult, be mature. Brethren, be not children in understanding. And some people are just so doggone naive, you wonder how in the world they've lived as long as they have. I mean, you know, the kind of people just walk out in front of a car and expect it to stop. And you don't know why in the world they haven't been run over. Well, it's faith. No, it's dumb. Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be children. Malice. Backstabbing, nasty, viciousness. Be like a little child there. You don't want a highly developed sense, an ability of maliciousness. There's no room for that in a Christian's life. In understanding, be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. What people was that? The Jews. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Time is gone. I'll have to come back to this again next time. Hope you'll join me as we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See you then.